Okay, the halachas of mezuzah, which we're going to deal with tonight, are not the halachas of how to write a mezuzah and how the mezuzah is considered to be kosher. We assume that the sofer to whom we take the mezuzah knows those halachas, at least we hope so, and we're not good, that's not really our concern. Suffice it to say that one has to be very careful where one buys one mezuzah. Situation now is a lot better than it was several years ago. Several years ago, almost every mezuzah which was sold on the marketplace was posel, whether it was because it was a photocopy or because it was written very quickly and not properly. In any event, today the situation is much better. The mezuzahs which you buy generally nowadays, if you pay a decent price, $30 and above, are kosher. If not, if you have any doubt, you should have a check by a reliable sofer. What we're going to deal with tonight are the questions more of the practicalities of dealing with the already written and assumed to be kosher mezuzah. A couple of preliminaries. First of all, there is a minhag, which many people have, to kiss the mezuzah. And this minhag does have a basis, in fact. It's brought down, not in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says to touch the mezuzah when one enters and leaves a room, and to say a pasuk, Hashem shomri, Hashem tzili al yad imini, Hashem yishmor tzeisiu voi, me'atov yad olam. But the Kitzur brings down in the name of the Chayodam that not only does one place one's hand on the mezuzah, but one also kisses one's hand or kisses the mezuzah as one enters and leaves the room. So there is a source for that, and it's brought down in that regard that the mezuzah should be covered, because otherwise you run the risk of rubbing out the name of Hashem, which is written on the mezuzah, which is Shin Dalet Yud, which of course is forbidden. One is not allowed to erase any of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. And then another interesting thing which is brought down is that the poskim do recognize the use of a mezuzah as an amulet. This has been done throughout the ages, it seems. You know, you see people wearing mezuzahs around their necks, or for that matter, hanging on mezuzahs in their cars, or such like. That is, has been done. It's not a new thing, and the post can say, they don't know if it does any good, but it's not usur al pi halacha. It's just that if a person does it, one has to make sure, of course, not to enter the bathroom with one's mezuzah exposed on a chain, assuming that one has a kosher klaf inside that mezuzah. Even if one doesn't, it's Divrei Torah, and one is not allowed to expose Divrei Torah in the bathroom as well. So, but there is a bekor for that minhag. The Shorim Mitzionim Balacha speaks about it in Simon Yud Aleph of Yitzapayrish and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Yud Aleph Sif Yud Ches. He brings down the poskim to speak about it. And the Igros Moshe, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, also speaks about it in Chelik Beis of Yerodei and the Igros Moshe, and they both say that there's nothing actually wrong with it, but one has to be careful when one does it. Now, coming now to the issue of what rooms are chayiv mezuzah, we have here in this photocopy, which I photocopied from a pamphlet put out by Rabbi Chaim Twersky from the Skokie Yeshiva, and this is a section of that pamphlet written by his uncle, Rabbi Twersky of Denver. He has 10 conditions which are necessary in order for a doorway to be mechayev mezuzah. And let's go through them one by one. The first condition is that the doorway entering a room, a doorway must be entering a room that is 4x4 cubits. The biblical Amon, we'll see what that is in a few moments. The door, number two, is the doorway must have doorposts on either side. Now, it's important to remember that doorposts mean that they're standing straight up. A cellar door, right? I don't know if you have them in Chicago so much, but if you ever walk down the streets of New York, there are doors. What? Yeah, if you have to fall into one, you'll know it's there. That's right, there are doors leading in front of stores down into the cellar, right, to lead in order to, like, loading dock kind of arrangements, in which things are moved from the street down into the cellar. So those are doors. They open up, and they have posts, which obviously hold the opening doors, but those are potim mezuzah. Why? Because a mezuzah is only on a standing doorway, not a doorway which is flush to the ground. Okay? The doorway must have a mashkof, a crossbar. Now that means, of course, that if you have, say, an entrance from your living room to your dining room, And the entrance from your living room to your dining room looks like this. You have here your living room and your dining room adjacent to it. And you have here two doorposts between the dining room and living room, but there is no lintel. The ceiling does not hang down over there at all. It doesn't make a pronounced drop like the doorway of a room. Then it's patur mimezuzah. In other words, this is looking from the top view. Looking from the side, you would see something like this. In which the roof would be right, the ceiling would be immediately above the entranceway, and there would be no lintel coming down. That would be patur mimezuzah, it would be patur mimezuzah unless, in fact, the lintel, the top came, dropped a little bit in that area. Okay? Like an arch, or like any type of protrusion, but it can't just be flush. If it's flush, it's patur mimezuzah. Similarly, the door, if the two doorposts ran straight to the ceiling is not considered to be a mashkof. No, it's not considered to be a mashkof. Mashkof in English is a lintel. I don't know if a lintel is a word which we're all familiar with, but that has to be a dropped part. If you look around the doors of a room, always the ceiling is dropped where the door is, and there's a lintel over the door. That is necessary in order for it to be chayav mimezuzah. Okay? Otherwise, it's potter. The doorway... getting back to doorposts, it's important to remember also that doorposts don't have to reach all the way up to the door, to the lintel. For instance, if you only have doorposts, use these markers here. So if you only have doorposts which come up 10 tefachim, let's say like this, and the lintel was all the way up here, that's still chayav v'mezuzah. Even though there's open air from the top of the doorpost to the lintel, it's still chayav mezuzah, and frequently that'll happen again between two rooms. If you have a room, well, such as a kitchen opening up into a dining room, sometimes you'll have a low shelf on either side of the room, which is a room divider, I guess one would call it, and on top of that there will be a lowered lintel. So in this case, as long as these doorposts, which constitute the room divider, reach the height of 10 tefachim, then this is considered halachically to be a doorway, and a mezuzah is required. And of course, you'd put the mezuzah down here on the 10 tefach high doorpost. Okay? Now, there is a daya that doorways must be, principle number 4 is that the doorway must be an entry into a room with a ceiling. And this is controversial because many poskim hold that the room, even if it does not have a ceiling, is chayav mezuzah. And it's important to point out here that a yard, which is not intended as a room, despite the fact that it has no roof, is chayav mezuzah. Now, that's, of course, if you have an entry into the yard with a lintel over it. You know, many people in Chicago have a backyard which has a gate which opens, which has doorposts, but no lintel. But if you had, like, an ornamental-type lintel over the way into your backyard, then that would be chayav mezuzah. It's only a room, which is patur mimezuzah if it has no ceiling. But a backyard or a courtyard, or for that matter, a city, such as a walled city, is chayav mezuzah even though it has no roof. Okay? Now, according to one opinion, which we'll see in a few moments over again, doorways must have doors that open and close. In other words, in order to be able to make a bracha, I'm putting up mezuzah, since there's the opinion of the Rambam that a doorway must have a door in order to be chayav mezuzah, if it doesn't have a door, then you don't put up a mezuzah. You put up mezuzah, but you don't make a bracha. Okay, so that happens all the time. And in most houses, there are several doorways between rooms which don't have doors. At least one, usually between the living room and dining room or such like. You'll have a living room and den. You'll have a doorway which doesn't have a door. It's just an entrance. That is chayav mezuzah, only misafik. So therefore, you don't make a bracha on that one. Okay. The doorway opening must be a minimum of 40 inches high and 16 inches wide. Okay, 40 inches high is obviously pretty low, but from that height and up, you're chayav in mezuzah. Rooms must be for ordinary, not sacred dwelling. Now, sacred dwelling is a funny concept, but what it means is a shul is patur min mezuzah, because it's not made for actual living in. It's made for davening and such like. However, we'll see later, a Beis Medrash is chayav in mezuzah, because Talmidei Chachamim, who learn in Beis Medrash, can eat, drink, and sleep there, and therefore it's considered to be like their living room. That's why a Beis Medrash is chayav in mezuzah. A room must be for human and not animal dwelling, and that's why a stable is patur min mezuzah. A room must be for dignified dwelling and usage, and we'll see what that excludes, besides a bathroom later in a few moments. A room must be for continued or permanent-like dwelling. Okay, a room is made for only temporary dwelling. This is a big question. And the public question will come back to later on. May this pertain specifically, in our case, to ships. Is a stateroom in a ship chayav in mezuzah? That's what the poskim discuss. In other words, you're not there permanently. You're only there for a while. Is a chayav in mezuzah, not chayav in mezuzah? And that will have ramifications for hospital rooms as well. Okay, we'll come back to that in a few moments. Now, the room... Hotel room also is called to talk about. The room must be 4x4 amos. Now, of course, there's a controversy if you look over here what exactly an amo is. 24 inches, and therefore the room must be 8x8, or 18 inches, and therefore the room must be 6x6. But besides that, there's another controversy. According to the Rambam, the area of 16 square cubits is the criteria. There's no minimum length to each wall. According to the Rosh, this authority, each wall of the room must be 4 amos. Wall length is the minimum criterion. Square cubits do not enter into the minimum. In other words, if you had, instead of 4x4, you had, according to the Rosh, you had 2x8, you would not be chayav in mezuzah. So, of course, if you have this strangely shaped room, you don't make a bracha when you put up a mezuzah in that room. Okay? You only make a bracha if it's 4x4 square because of the big machlokas. Now, hallways, you might think, are not chayav mezuzah for that reason. Why? Because many hallways are not 4x4 amos. But the trick is, almost invariably, the hallway will enter into a room which is 4x4 amos. And therefore, the room which is 4x4 amos requires a mezuzah. That's not always the case. A closet doesn't require a mezuzah. Closet's little room, because unless it's 4x4, because you don't enter from the closet into the big room. You go from the big room and look for your clothes in the closet. But a hallway which serves as an entrance to a bigger room is chayav in mezuzah. Okay? And if you had a walk-in closet, which was 4x4 amos, then in and of itself that closet will also be chayav in mezuzah as well. Okay? Will. In walk-in closet, which is 4x4 amos, is chayav in mezuzah. Okay. Coming back again to doorposts and crossbars. The doorposts need not be separate from the wall. The doorposts need not be separate from the wall. Wall protuberances on either side of the doorway are considered doorposts. In other words, the width of the wall constitutes the doorpost. By that we mean, you don't need, if you look around the room, you'll see that all the doors in the room have, besides the wall, they also have the brown metal posts within the door frame. You don't need a door frame in order to constitute a doorpost. All you need is that there should be a wall which at that point juts out. For instance, right next to me here, I have a wall which juts out from the regular wall. Were I to have one like this over here, and one like this on the other side, and the ceiling would drop somewhat over here, despite the fact that there's no door frame in this area, I would still be chayav b'mezuzah on that. Okay, that would be considered to be a doorway, which is chayav b'mezuzah. Likewise with the crossbar. And the crossbars need not be separate. Lower the protuberances from the ceiling. Are considered to be a mashkof, and there you have a picture there Right? You see, in that case, there is no door frame. That's chayiv mezuzah. Protuberances must be such that they enter the door space. If there is only one doorpost, if it is on the right side of the entrance, there are some opinions that this creates an obligation for mezuzah. If the doorpost is on the left side of the entrance and the right side is only a blank wall, no mezuzah is necessary. I'll draw that for you here. If you have a case where you have a room which only has a wall on one side of the entrance, in other words, it looks like this, kind of like an inverted square six. So in this case, this, on the right side, you have a wall which comes out and constitutes a doorpost. In this case, you're chayev b'mezuzah, misafik, because there's only one doorpost, because on this, the other side, on the left side, it's flush, there is no post. So therefore, in this case, you would put up a mezuzah misafik, but you would not make a bracha. If it were the other way around, the right side were flush, and the left side was indented like this, then you would not put up any mezuzah. In that case, no mezuzah is required. Okay? Let's turn the page. The doorway must enter the room which has a ceiling. This is to exclude a doorway between open areas or into an open porch. It is understood that if the doorway is between two rooms and one of them has a ceiling, the doorway is obligated to have a mezuzah as an entrance to the room with a ceiling. Some authorities require mezuzah if it is usual to use such a room without a ceiling, such as a porch or patio, and of course we would be machmir in that case and put a mezuzah but not make a bracha. Doorways must have doors. The Rambam is the only authority to include this criteria. The majority rule that the doorway opening is sufficient. And the conclusion is all doorways require mezuzah, even though there are no openings and closing door, no opening and closing doors in that space. However, one should not make a bracha when affixing a mezuzah in this case. Okay, we paskin that misafik, at least, all doorways are chayiv mezuzah, even if they have no actual door within the doorway. Okay, the doorway must be 40 inches minimum height and 16 inches width. An archway must have a mezuzah if the archway begins above 40 inches. Some of it, that's like you have here in the picture. Well, excuse me. Scratch that. In other words, if you have a case, again, I'll draw this on the board. If you have a case in which there is an archway, which begins above 40 inches, in other words, the first 40 inches, which is the height of 10 tefachim, are straight, then the fact that it's the door is shaped like an arch does not remove from me the chi of mezuzah, even to make a bracha in this case. If, however, the arch starts below 40 inches, in other words, it looks already from the bottom curved, and this is important. Were I to draw a line up to 40 inches, it would actually bear into the wall over there. And the 16-inch line as well, the 16-inch across line also would come out, so that I had to cut off part of the wall in order to make my full shear, which is required in order to be chayiv mezuzah. In that case, let's see what he says. As long as the archway does not narrow less than 16 inches under the 40-inch minimum, the doorway is required to have mezuzah even if the arch begins at the bottom. Therefore, all archways that are minimum 40 inches high and 16 inches wide should have a mezuzah. But a bracha should not be made where the arch begins below 40 inches, since the obligation in this case is controversial. What's the conclusion from this conclusion? That in this case over here, your potter b'mezuzah, this is considered to be a mouse hole, not a doorway. It has to be, at least, that the arch leaves space an actual space of 40 inches by 16 inches, which is not wall, but space to pass through. If there is that space to pass through, then it depends. If the arch starts all the way at the bottom, it's a machlokes. We don't put up a mezuzah with a bracha there, because there isn't 40 tefach of straight doorpost, 40 inches of straight doorpost. Where there are 40 inches of straight doorpost, then I'm mechuyev to put up a mezuzah with a bracha. Okay? Now, till now we were talking about the types of doors or rooms. Yeah. 6C. Yeah.
The entry has no door, both at all, but simply comes out.
Yeah.
The house is not required. However, in that particular case, it would be. I mean,
he's talking about the case which he drew. Where he says here, if an archway has no door post at all, but simply comes out of the wall, mezuzah is not required. He's talking about the picture right above, where there are no door posts at all. Okay, since there are no door posts at all, despite the fact that you have an ornamental arch between the two rooms, then you're not chayav in mezuzah. Okay?
I'm not really above it. But a brother should not be made when the arch begins below 40 inches, as the obvious in this case.
Yeah.
But it doesn't include the case where you could theoretically cut out that section.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't include that case. That's right. That was my conclusion. He doesn't include, Rabbi Twersky, it doesn't include the case where you can cut, where it would be cut out, but that's my conclusion. And in this case, where you would have to cut out from the wall in order to make the 40 by 16 inches, then you're putter from mezuzah altogether. Okay. By the way, the 16 inches is important. If you have a doorway, no matter how high it is, but it's less than 16 inches across, so even if you can squeeze through, it's putter from mezuzah. That's not considered to be a doorway. Okay? Now, ordinary usage. All synagogues will not require mezuzah. It is nevertheless customary to have a mezuzah. You ever see a shul without a mezuzah? What about schools? Have you seen schools without a mezuzah? No? When I was growing up in our elementary school, there were no mezuzahs. I think they had them. They took them down once, could check them. Turned out they're a pulse. I don't remember they ever put them up again. Maybe they did. Probably by now they did. But in any event... What? A base medrash? I don't know. Maybe the dining room, yes, but I'm not sure. The classroom, the kids are not allowed to eat or sleep in the classrooms. They're not supposed to. People sleep in shul also. They're not supposed to. You know? So, I don't know. The dining room might be chayav b'mezuzah, but not the classrooms. I guess that was their logic. If I remember correctly, I might not remember correctly, but I believe that that's the pshat. But it's, again, it's customary. Almost every room you ever see in a shul or a school is chayav b'mezuzah. If you see, if the building has general uses such as for sleeping and eating, the entrance of all doorways into such usage areas are required mezuzah. In other words, upstairs here in this shul would not require mezuzah. The base madrash would not require mezuzah, but the social hall would require a mezuzah. Okay? Now, that's being made for human dwelling, which or animal dwelling, which includes eating and sleeping, and places of business and offices. Now, this is controversial, and I want to tell you why. Because they're not made for both day and night use. You don't use an office at night. So one of the modern-day poskim we're going to see more of tonight, later, the old Ari wants to say, well, nowadays, when we're on standard time, people use their offices at night. So maybe the whole logic that an office is not chayav b'mezuzah fell off. Then nowadays there are chayav b'mezuzah, and you would even make a bracha when you put up an mezuzah in your office. So he says he doesn't know. And Lamai said it's not so simple what he's saying is true, because true, you use it for a limited time in the evening. But that's not really usage at night. Usage at night means that it's perennially in use. It can be used in the morning, at night, late, middle of the night. So I would say that it's still a safek, and therefore we don't make a bracha when we put up a mezuzah in an office. Okay? However, storage places, rooms used for dressing and undressing, children's room, and garages are all chayav b'mezuzah. Now, if you'll note that this Rabbi Twersky has a little bit of a controversial opinion here. These regarding garages, these require mezuzahs, but only on doorways for human entrance. The large garage door does not need a mezuzah. and somebody made him put in, maybe he put in himself, only in the opinion of the author. However, many halachic authorities state that the garage door does require a mezuzah. I didn't see in any of the posik that they say a garage door is patur mezuzah. It seems like most poskim hold that even the front door of the garage is used for human entry and exit. True, you're in a car when you go in and out. But so what? You're going in and out, so therefore it's chayav mezuzah. Lamaisa, I believe the minhag is that most people do put up mezuzahs on the garage doors. On the main door as well. It is preferable that in such rooms where nakedness is probable that the mezuzah be placed in a covering. If possible, it should be in such a position that when the door is closed, the mezuzah remains on the outside. Lamaisa, we always put our mezuzah in a cover. But the Gra had a chumrah not to put the mezuzah in a cover. He used to, I don't know exactly what he did, maybe he used to put in like a thin piece of saran wrap or whatever the equivalent was at the times of the Gra. Yes, but Lamaisa used to try to fix it directly to the door so there shouldn't be any chatzitza, any separation between the mezuzah and the door. Why do we not care if there's a chatzitza?
You can have it on the outside.
What?
You can have it on the outside.
On the outside of what?
The outer, let's say, you have a semi-cover.
Yeah.
As long as the mezuzah touches the doorpost, you put the cover on the outside.
Right, you can
cover it from the...
Right, you can cover it on the outside. That's true. According to the Gra, you can cover it from the outside and not just leave it flush on the inside. Lamaisa, we don't pass like the Gra because we believe, we hold, that anything which is fixed to the wall becomes part of the wall. And therefore, even if the mezuzah case has a backing, the backing now becomes part of the wall, and therefore you don't have the problem of chatzitza. Okay? Dignified dwellings, any room that in its manner of usage has uncleanliness, should not have mezuzahs such as bathing rooms, toilets, tanneries, and bathhouses. Important point, a permanent dwelling. In Eretz Yisrael, any dwelling that is house-like needs a mezuzah regardless of the length of intended stay. The moment you move into a house in Israel, even if you're renting, it's chayav mezuzah. In the diaspora outside of Eretz Yisrael, a dwelling must be at for at least 30 days duration of rental before it is obligated to have a mezuzah. If one buys a home, it is immediately obligated to have a mezuzah upon moving into the home. Okay, now we're going to see later in a few moments what happens when a renter leaves. Can he take his mezuzahs with him or not? Okay, but you're chayav to put him up if you're staying for 30 days. And again, we'll see in a few moments, when do you make the bracha? When you put him up or after 30 days? That we'll see. When you put him up? Not so partial. Rabbi Moshe says you make the bracha after 30 days. We'll see why later in a few moments. Okay, hotel rooms. Mezuzahs are the obligations of the proprietor, and this is important to add that by yeshiva dorm rooms, this is true as well. Yeshiva, seminary, any dorm room, the proprietor, the yeshiva has to put in the mezuzah. Why? Because the person who rents the dormitory room or the hotel room is not truly an owner. The hotel manager can kick him out anytime. The yeshiva, if they're smart, reserves the right to kick out a bachur. So in that those cases, they're not truly considered to be renters. So therefore, they are not chayav mezuzah. The owners are chayav mezuzah. Okay, till now we didn't speak about which side he put up the mezuzah on. Right side of entry. There are doorways that present the double entry problem, and it must be determined which side is considered the right side of entry. In other words, for instance, from your dining room to your kitchen. What's considered to be entry into which? Do you enter from the dining room to the kitchen? Do you enter from the kitchen into the dining room? What?
Depends on where the door post is.
There are door posts on both sides.
It's the flow of traffic. Which traffic goes around?
Well, okay, we'll see in a minute. That will come to. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, there are doorways that present the double entry problem. It must be determined which side is considered the right side of entry. There are three criteria. A, as you go from the outside of the house inward, the entry toward the room which is most inward determines the right side of entry. Okay, now this is not simple. We'll come back to this in a couple of moments. But what he's saying here is that if you have a house which has a succession of rooms, and you have one room in front, another room in front of that, and behind both these rooms you have a back room. So if the room, like a railroad flat type arrangement, the inner, you always face right, you always turn right facing going into the innermost room. The catch in this is, what happens if this innermost room is a porch? Now, you have a porch off one of the rooms in your house, or a patio, or such like. Why there should it be different? Because then, it's you're coming, and if this is a porch, this inner room is a porch, then in essence it's also an entrance from this direction, from the porch into the house. Because the porch is outside, and coming into this room, you're coming inside. So the big question, where to put up a mezuzah in this case? Doesn't matter. We'll see in a moment. However, if it's not a porch...
In your case, there's no way that you can get in that room without going...
Yeah, there's no way you can get onto that porch without going through the inner room. But nonetheless, it's a big machlokas. Where it's not a porch, where that inner room is indeed a room, nobody argues. You go up to the right side of entering from the outer room. But where the inner room is a porch, then we're going to have a machlokas. By the way, if you have 10 rooms serving as a long vestibule for an inner room, in other words, you have a railroad flat, if you have a railroad flat in which you have 10 rooms in succession, each of which is less than 4 amos, each one is less than 4 by 4 amos, they're all chayav mezuzah. Why are they all chayav mezuzah? Because the innermost room, they're all considered to be opening on the innermost room, and therefore they're all chayav mezuzah as well. Okay? Now, in this case, we go by the innermost room. Let's see the next condition. In the direction which a doorway used more as an entrance, in the direction which a doorway used more as an entrance than an exit, this is needed where there are both a back and front door. In other words, you always go by where it's an entrance. Let's say if you have two doors into a room, and in a private home, this usually doesn't work this way, but in a public place, the yeshiva or such like, you can very often have one room which is entrance and one room which is an exit. One door which is an entrance, one door which is an exit. Like, for instance, in the Skokie Yeshiva Beis Medrash, so the front door is used mostly as an entrance. And then there are two doors near the Aron Kodesh, which are mostly used as an exit when Bachrim want to go to lunch, so they mostly go out of that room. I don't know if those doors, I don't know if that's actually the fact or not, but just in order to make it clear. So in that case, I would say that the rooms with the doors which are used primarily for entrance, the front doors, you determine right facing going in. The doors which are used primarily for exit, you determine the right facing going out. Okay? That's the next possibility. The third possibility is the room that has the most usage is considered the most entered room, and a mezuzah is placed on the right side of the doorway coming into that room. And therefore, for instance, a hallway precedes dining room precedes the living room, etc. What that means is that since the dining room is more used than the hallway, the room itself is more used. Irrelevant of which way the traffic is going, you say, well, I always determine right side looking from the hallway into the dining room, which is more used. Or if your living room is more used than your dining room, I always determine the right side looking from the dining room into the living room, etc., etc., and so on. Now, however, there's a very important thing which you mentioned before, which he doesn't mention here, and that is the principle of Heker Tzir. Heker Tzir is a big issue, hot issue in mezuzah, if you can think of one. Heker Tzir means that any doorway, or most 90% of doorways, open in one direction. Right, if you have two rooms and a doorway between the two of them, then the door pushes open in a certain direction. If you are completely mesupuk, you have no idea which room is primary, when in doubt, say the postgame, follow Heker Tzir. Follow the room into which the door opens is the primary room. And always determine the right side looking towards that room. That's the principle of Heker Tzir. Now, why do I say this is the most hot topic in Erevin, in mezuzah? slip there. Well, I said the most tavik in mezuzah, the tavik in mezuzah, because the Lubavitchers always follow Heker Tzir. Regardless of traffic, usage, any of those criteria, they always follow Heker Tzir. They always look at where the door opens up into, and they say that's primary, and always fix to the right of that, which leads to a lot of strange situations. If you go into a Lubavitcher house, and you kiss mezuzahs very often, you'll stick your hand up to kiss mezuzah, and you'll be like, it's not there. It's on the other side. Because they follow the principle of Heker Tzir, overriding all the other determinations which we would use in putting up a mezuzah.
I've watched the Lubavitch place where the mezuzah was on the right-hand side, one door. You took two more steps, you opened up another door, and the mezuzah was on the other side.
Right, that's exactly the point. Okay, so, and if you ask Lubavitch Rav for a psak in Hilchos mezuzah, you have to make it known to him that you want a psak based on your minug, not on his minug, which is important to remember. And this is also going to lead us to another shaila. What happens if you have a swinging door? That's where Moshe Feinstein says you don't need one. Very good. Well, we don't paskin like him. I mean, the world's minute is not like that. Revolving door would also be the same issue. Now, that would only be a shaila again. You have to realize the shaila of a swinging door is only a shaila where everything else is equal. The use is exactly the same on both sides of the door. Each room's already as heavily used, and you were truly confused. Because Heker Tzir, in our approach, is the last fallback position. In other words, if there's no other way of determining what's the right side, then we use Heker Tzir as the determination. If all other things are equal, Taka, and then you have a swinging door, then you, in fact, fall into the Shiloh. Okay, we'll come back to this in a couple of moments. Placing the mezuzah scroll. When you place it, it should be in a protective cover. Let's turn the page. Should be placed on the doorpost or the wall protuberance, on the right side of the entry, on the lower part of the upper third of the doorpost. In other words, in your mind's eye, divide the doorpost up into three. And put it at the lower part of the upper third of the doorway.
My upper third would be higher than your upper third.
Exception. No, not
the door.
Not your height. There will be a difference in a moment. Exception: if the door opening is very high, the mezuzah should be approximately opposite the shoulder of average height. So somewhere between me and you. Now slant the mezuzah so that it's halfway between. Now, Chlokas Rashi tells you where the mezuzah should be: horizontal or vertical. So as a compromise, we place it on the slant. Okay, but if you don't have a choice. If the doorpost is narrow, the mezuzah should be placed in a vertical position. If the doorpost is wide, the mezuzah is placed on the outer 3 inches of the doorpost. Outer means towards the hall or the outside. The mezuzah should be nailed on the doorpost. If nails cannot be used, permanent light glue may be used, and of course, if you can't even use that, you should use tape. But it should always be the most permanent way of affixing it, because it should be as much part of the doorpost as you can.
Now,
screws are fine. Now, it's some people, even in some places, they even, it's hard to do this in our doorposts because they're metal, but in Yerushalayim, if you go places where they have doorposts, right, made out of cement or concrete, they dig it into the door post itself and then cement over it. Okay? Now, this is a... Yes. It says that public mezuzahs in private houses you check twice every 7 years. Mezuzahs in public places, check twice every 50 years. That's right. Twice every 50 years. Okay, now, the bracha, of course, you make just before nailing on the door. Only on doors that are positively obligated for the scroll. Other doors where the obligation is controversial should have a scroll, but a bracha should not be made. When a mezuzah is removed for inspection, a bracha is not to be made on the replacement unless a mezuzah was found puzzle. A rabbi should be consulted in such cases to determine how puzzle it actually was. Now, if you're doing several mezuzahs, you should keep quiet between each door so that the bracha which went on the first door applies to all the rest of the doors. You can speak about matters which have to do with putting on mezuzahs, much like bedikas chametz, where you can speak between speak after the bracha matters which have to do with bedikas chametz. Okay? Now let's go.
In other words, if you put on a new mezuzah, if you put, for whatever reason,
yeah.
Except for the fact that the other one's possible,
yeah.
Would not make a bracha.
You're right. If you put a new mezuzah for any reason other than the first one's possible, then you would not make another bracha. That's right. Now let's go a little bit more in depth to a couple of these halachas. Let's turn the page again. I'm just going to go through a few of the selected halachas here. Halachas which I selected. On page 4. My page 4. Halacha tes. Bayis shebesfina pater b'mezuzah. Everybody see that? A room in a boat is pater from mezuzah. Some people say that in our day and age, a house in a boat is chayb mezuzah ve'ein nogin kein, and that's not the minhag. If you look here in footnote 10, he says the reason why some people say, which is the Aruch HaShulchan, that a house in a boat is chayb pot is chayb nowadays, is because now the staterooms in boats are much more permanent than in the old days. In the old days, they had large hulls, which were temporarily subdivided into rooms based on the necessity. But now that the staterooms are permanent, so they're chayev b'mezuzah. But, he says, the minhag is not like that. I don't know the lemaisa. I don't know too many Orthodox Jews who own ships with staterooms, so it's kind of irrelevant. But there is a big nafkamina halach lemaisa. If you own a trailer, is a trailer chayev b'mezuzah. Motorhome, yeah. That's what I meant. So the Shara Mitzioni Balocha, Posik in New York, Paskins, that you are chayav mezuzah. You have to put a mezuzah on your trailer or motorhome or RV because it's permanent and it's used to live in it. You put it out in the door. I'm assuming it has its own door. But would you get there through the car door? I mean, why are you asking the question?
The motorhomes have car-type doors, and they have...
Whatever door is used to get to the living area, you would have to put a mezuzah on. Okay?
Outside or inside?
If you don't have a choice, outside. Unless you're afraid it's going to be vandalized, then you put it on the inside. Let's skip now to Halacha Yud Aleph. A house which is not made for a permanent abode is pater mezuzah. Lefichach, therefore, sukkah sachag b'chag p'tur mezuzah. Sukkah is pater from mezuzah. What happens with a house, a summer house, summer home, which is also not made to live in year-round? See in a moment. A house which is owned by two Jewish partners, chay mezuzah, chay mezuzah. If there's a house which a Jew and a Goy are partnering, or for that matter, a business in which a Jew and a Goy are partners, there's a machlokas b'poskim, a bayis chayim mezuzah, if the house is chayim mezuzah. V'nochon likba sham below bracha. And it's best to put a mezuzah there without a bracha. B'amed, when do we speak about shneim darim b'cheder echad, when they're both in the same room, the same office? But if the Jew and the Goy, who are partners, are in two separate rooms, even if it's one large house, the Jew has to put a mezuzah in his room. In a place where there's a danger, where they're afraid that the Goy will say that the Jew is involved in sorcery, also we're afraid that the Goy might mock and then desecrate the mezuzah, you shouldn't put up mezuzah in that case. Since only a safek, so one can be lenient. But l'chatchila, one should be machmir. Time to get a new partner, right. If he thinks you're a sorcerer, yeah, you better get rid of him. Yisrael shemachzik b'veiso m'shorsim enim yehudim, if you have a maid who has her own room in the house, they have their own special room, then you have to put up a mezuzah, I guess, because it's still part of your house. Right? It's not considered to be really rented out to them. For that matter, even is rented out to them. If you own a house, you're chayav a mezuzah, but unless you're afraid that it's going to be desecrated, and in this case, you have to put up a mezuzah for this person.
If you own the
hotel, we'll get there in a moment. Absolutely. You have to put up a... What? Even though you ran the going, because you're not afraid the going is going to desecrate it, so therefore you're chayef. Let's skip down. As a matter of fact, halacha desvav, yeshiva, Umakum Shabakurim Dorim Sham Shanu Korim Dormitory. Chamanalim Tzrichim Likvar Mezuzah. Benalim, the people who run the yeshiva, and for that matter a hospital or a hotel, are all chayav to put up the mezuzahs, but not the people who live in the rooms themselves. Okay? This is also, again, a comparison can be drawn from Bdikas Chametz. Bdikas Chametz, it's a shiloh, who's chayav in Bdikas Chametz, whether the yeshiva or the hotel owner is chayav in Bdikas Chametz, or the person who uses the room is chayav in Bdikas Chametz. L'maisa, it's a big problem, but it's a big problem. The minhag is that the bachrim in the yeshiva do it, but it's really almost a favor to the administration of the yeshiva, because really the administration should do it, since the bachrim are not tenants, they can be kicked out or moved at the will of the whim of the administration. Therefore, they're not really chayev to do it. It's really the administration which should be doing it. Yes. They don't make a bracha. The bracha never make a bracha. Yeah. 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 No, cars, a homeless person sleeping in a car would not be chayav to put a mezuzah because a car is not made for dwelling. I mean, it's called batla daito etzakolodam. He's doing something which is abnormal, so he wouldn't be chayav mezuzah. Yeah, they might not be 40 inches by 16 inches. But they probably are, though. Probably are. Oh, well, if they weren't 16 inches wide, they'd be very hard to get into. Yeah. 40 inches, yeah. Okay. However, this is all talking about a case where the people who are involved are not renters. But if you go to the next halacha, maskir bayis l'chaveru, if somebody's renting a house to his friend, the person who's living there has to bring the mezuzah, flikboa, some put it there, and they shall mezuzah chovas adorhi veinu chovas abayis. The person who's living in the house has to put up the mezuzah, not the person who owns the house. So therefore, the tenant cannot say to the owner, you put up the mezuzahs. The owner says to the tenant, no, you put up the mezuzahs. Because you are the person living there, it's your responsibility. Hasocher bais b'chutzlaret. Somebody who rents a house in chutzlaret putim mezuzah shloshim yom. Over tchilas leil lamanal, the beginning of the 31st day is chayav mezuzah. V'im ira leil lamanal v'shabbos, if the 31st day came in on Shabbos, tzarech likbo erev Shabbos levarech alav. And then you have to put up the mezuzah erev Shabbos and make the bracha then. V'im socher lo adrusha mekviyas. Now let's say you intend on staying there more than 30 days. Yesh omrim, some say the mechuyav likbo mezuzah miyad. Then immediately you have to put up the mezuzah when you move in. Ulevarech alav and make the bracha then. V'yesh omrim, some people say the af b'socher, even if you rented lodur b'kviyas to live there permanently, Potter kol shloshim yom, you don't establish the definition of being permanent there until you've been there for 30 days. And therefore, you don't put out the mezuzah, nor do you make the brachas until 30 days have elapsed. Okay? Ula aloch lemaisa, this aloch lemaisa based on Ramosha Feinstein, the minhag is not like this. But he paskins aloch lemaisa, tov likvor mezuzah miyad, it's best to put in the mezuzah immediately, v'lo yivorech alav ad alach shloshim yom, and don't make the bracha until after 30 days. Vazi sirena, then remove it. Oh, you mash mishosa or fumble with it a little bit. Vivarech alav, make the bracha. Viachsar v'yikven, and put it back up again. So this is the way he passes based on Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think the minhag is overwhelmingly that people put up the mezuzahs as soon as they get them, and they make the brachas as soon as they put them up. But Rav Moshe says it's best to wait until after 30 days till you've established residency there. Okay, now had no sin b'mei akayitz la country. People who travel in the summer to the country, v'sochim shamdiros and rent their apartments, al basic im chodashim for 2 or 3 months, chayavim mezuzah. They're chayim mezuzah. Yeshurim shivarech love. Some say you make a bracha. V'yeshurim shlo yivarech. We paskin you don't make a bracha. Okay, he brings down here on the footnote that in this case you definitely shouldn't make the bracha until after 30 days. Because since it's only going to be your house for... even those who hold you should make a bracha would hold you shouldn't make the bracha until after 30 days because you're not permanent there. It's not really your permanent place of abode. You don't intend to stay there permanently, so you don't establish permanence until you've been there for 30 days.
It would be the same thing if you rent a hotel room for a few months.
If you rent a hotel room for a few months and they can't kick you out at will, then that's a rental agreement, yeah. Then it would be the same halacha. Kind of an apartment hotel type of situation. The thing is that, A, that's only talking about where you're renting a summer home. But if you own a summer home, it's chayvim susa. Right? You don't live there year-round, but it's your house. B, Shari Mitzioni Balach wants to say that this is only if you don't live there for 6 months. But if you live there for 6 months, you're chayvim susa. And he brings a proof from Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, we paskin that if you make a knot which lasts for 6 months, everybody holds it's a kesher shakayam, it's a permanent knot which is forbidden to make on Shabbos. So he says permanence is established for sure if you intend to live somewhere for 6 months. In any event, hasocher bayis b'Eretz Yisrael chayav likvo mezuzah miyad. If you rent a house in Eretz Yisrael, you must put up mezuzah immediately mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael because of the halacha of yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so in order to make sure that people settle Eretz Yisrael properly, therefore, if you rent a house in Israel, you have mezuzah immediately. Okay, let's turn the page. This is, of course, page 5. This is, of course, only if you're renting. But if you buy a house, then you have to put a mezuzah, even in Chutz Laretz, immediately. What happens when you leave a house? Let's see this inside Aloch above. When a person leaves one house to go live somewhere else, lo yitol ha-mezuzas, he cannot take a mezuzas im nishar ha-bayis b'yad Yisrael. If the house remains in the hands of another Yisrael, another Jew. Aval im sochar ha-bayis me'akum, but if he's rented the house, now this is, we mean if the landlord is a Jew. Forget about the next tenant. If the landlord is a Jew, he has to leave the mezuzas up. It's ironic, because really, the landlord told the tenant, it's your job to put out the mezuzahs. But now, since the landlord is Jewish, he's not allowed to take down the mezuzahs when he leaves. If he rented the house from a goy, now he's leaving the goy's house, or duva b'ayis achim, live in another house, even though he knows that the odds are that the next tenant is going to be a Jew, he takes the mezuzah when he leaves, so the mezuzah shouldn't come to be mocked. And even if he rented from Yisrael, but the next tenant is going to be a goy, then he also takes it off when he leaves, or that it shouldn't come to be Yisrael. If the landlord is the tenant.
And then because you're saying the landlord, the tenant has to leave it.
Yeah.
But the landlord doesn't have an obligation to give the tenant, to give the next tenant a mezuzah.
The landlord doesn't have the obligation to give the next tenant a mezuzah, yeah?
So what if the landlord is the present tenant and then leaves and then another Jew?
If the landlord is the present tenant, he can't leave the mezuzahs up as well. As long as the next person to be in the apartment is going to be a Jew, even if it's a goy, if he knows the goy is not going to mock the mezuzahs, he has to leave the mezuzahs up. Because the landlord is mechayev to have a mezuzah.
Isn't he entitled to get paid for it?
That's the next halacha. Kshiyatsu beisu mashu shom mezuzos, if a person leaves the house and he leaves the mezuzahs there, he makbid alamos, if he wants money, as a sheni tzarech l'shali. The guy moves in because he's got to pay. But if he doesn't pay, you're still not allowed to take him down. There is his chayav to pay, but it's your tough luck if you can't collect from him. Okay?
You have to leave a mezuzah there, you don't have to leave the one that...
Okay. If you have mezuzahs from a distinguished sefer, Femi Karim, you have $45 mezuzahs. And now you want to, when you leave the house, you want to change the mezuzahs. You want to put up $10 kosher mezuzahs. You're allowed to do so. As long as you make sure the next mezuzah you put up is kosher mezuzah. Okay, but it's permissible to change them for cheap ones. Now, a little bit more about putting up mezuzahs. If you look at the next column in footnote Yud Ches, you You have to make a bracha before you put a mezuzah. Every just like any other mitzvah, you make a bracha on before you put it up. Vagra, Havi Rishami, the Vilna Gaon brings down from Rishami the Mevarich al mitzvahs mezuzah. You make a bracha on mitzvahs mezuzah. We paskin that the nusach habracha is actually likbar mezuzah, to put up mezuzah, not on mitzvahs mezuzah. But in any event, Yito Yodav Konim habracha. It says you should wash your hands before you make the bracha. Shlo yivarech b'yadayim u'chochos, not to have dirty hands. V'yahadar acha mitzvah zu, you should be mahadar in this mitzvah. L'kaimah v'chol diktukim, to fulfill it with all the possible stringencies. V'yikba mezuzah b'simcha atzuma, and spread the mezuzah with great joy, with pirsum and fanfare. L'chol b'nei mishpachto, demonstrating to the entire family, k'dei shiru, so that they'll see kama choshuv, how significant the chaviv and dear mitzvah zu, all of this mitzvah is to him, k'dei she'elem zecher, in order that they should have a reminder, eich tzrichim l'kai mitzvah mezuzah, how important it is to fulfill the mitzvah mezuzah, u'kshiyigdu l'abonim, so when the children go up, yasu kam heima v'vateim kain, they'll also fulfill the mitzvah with the same degree of fervor. Okay? Next, narrow, tall doorways we dealt with already, that you put it up vertically, or you put it up at shoulder height. The parameters of Hekert Seer. Let's see that a little bit more now. Let's turn now to page 6. We said that you always follow usage. If you can't follow usage, then you follow Hekert Seer. Then we mentioned, what about the question of a swinging door? Reb Moshe says, like you said before, that in the case of swinging door, you're parted from mezuzah altogether. There's no chiyum mezuzah. Since there's no full door, since in this case it's considered to be similar to the Rambam's case. The Rambam said, where there is no door, you're not chayav mezuzah. We don't bask in the Rambam. We said, even where there is no door, you still have to put a mezuzah. But where there's no way to determine which side to put it up, you don't have to put it up at all. That's Reb Moshe Shita. Reb Yaakov Emden says you have to put up two. One on each side. Halacha l'maisa, the minhag is to put up one on either side. Whichever side you see fit, that's the side on which you put it up. A what door?
Pocket door.
What's a pocket door?
Door to the wall.
A sliding door? And you can't determine which room is predominantly used? Same thing. Either side, whichever side you think is more suitable.
What about on the side where the hinge of what? The swinging door is?
On the hinge of the swinging door?
It's
the side where the hinge is doesn't make the difference, though. I mean, that's a misconception, which is based on the terminology, Hekert Seer. Recognizing the hinge. But that's not really what's the criterion here. The criterion is not where the hinge is, but into which side the door opens. So the fact that it hinges on one side or another is not going to make an essential difference. Let's go down now to Halacha Vav. Let's skip down to Halacha Vav on page... Halacha Zayin, the bottom of page 6. Chatzar Shu Sasam, you called Stadav, a yard which is closed from all sides, below Pesach Shu Sarami, has no entry into the street. The only way to get to is through a house. Yesh machlokas b'poskim is a tzad tzrichim likbar mezuzah. Poskim have a machlokas, which side you put the mezuzah up on. In b'yamina nichnas mibayis l'chatzer, whether it's the right side of the person who's coming from the house into the courtyard, or b'yamina nichnas mibayis l'chatzer, from the right side of a person going from the yard into the house. Again, here we put it up on whichever side we want, and however, below bracha. In both the cases, swinging door, and this case without a bracha, v'uadin mokum shonu korim porch. And the same thing is true with the porch, which is closed on all sides. V'ein ichnasi yisokha l'derech abayis, you only go into it through the house. Yochel l'kova beiz etzad shiirta, you put it on whichever side you want, without any bracha. In the footnote it says here, v'isa, the final line in footnote yudzayin, v'isa b'min hagi chabad, the Mishaelu Zuhochin Acher Hekert Seer. The Chabad, they go after Hekert Seer, but we would say that Hekert Seer is not relevant here. It's a bigger question. which supersedes the accuracy of your question of which is the entranceway into which, and therefore we say that you put it on either side. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He's ignoring the fact that I've been hugging Chabad, it's primary. You're right. You're right. A couple more points. We're running over time already. I'm going to just say them out outside. In Halacha Yud Aleph, he points out, if a goy wants a mezuzah, a goy see these Jews, they have the special insurance policy, they have the mezuzah on their door, he wants one too. You have to give him one. Now, normally you would say you don't give him one. But if you were afraid that the goy is going to hate you if you don't give it to him, so therefore that goyim should not hate Jews, we give him a mezuzah. And once you give it to him, it has to be a kosher one. Because giving a puzzle one is what, Avera? What Avera do you transgress if you give a goy a puzzle mezuzah? If he asks you for a kosher one. What? Gneva Stas. He asked you for a kosher one. To give him a postal one is Gneva Stas. That's forbidden. Does he put up with a bracha? No, you don't put up with a bracha. No, you can put it off for him, but not with a bracha. And finally, there's a machlokas haposkim as to whether if a child puts up a mezuzah, the mezuzah is kosher or not. The Ohel Aryeh here says it's not kosher. You have to take it down, put it up again. The Shari Mitzioni Balacha says it is kosher. Because the halacha of mezuzah is not, the mitzvah of mezuzah is not the act of putting it up, but that the house should have a mezuzah on its door. If you held that the mitzvah of mezuzah was to put it up, so therefore if a kohen put up a mezuzah, the mitzvah is not fulfilled because he's not chayiv in the mitzvah, you have to do it over again. But if you hold that the mitzvah is that the house should have a mezuzah on it, doesn't make a difference if a child put up, if it came down from Shemayim, if you found it on your door, the halacha is, of course, the fact is that that house has a mezuzah, and therefore it's kosher. So it's a machluk, it's a poskim, it's best to be machmir, obviously, and have adult put out the mezuzah. And we'll stop here for this evening.